We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Super Regional Weekend coming up here today. That is today. Yes, if you have this in your podcast feed, you are listening to the one and only Kyle Schassberger, David Kahn, back in Winston-Salem, along with Michael Serber. I am on location, somewhat, on vacation, but I do know how important it is to bring out some college baseball content to you on a Friday. As promised, second podcast of the week, following just an absolute riveting regional weekend that we had. And David, as I bring you in, follow him in on Twitter at SportsCon4. There was one game that we weren't able to recap on Monday night as we were quote unquote live podcasting, if you will. And sure enough, it ended up being a all-timer in Texas State at Stanford, and the Cardinal coming back in the ninth and walking it off. So curious on your thoughts there. We'll get to all the extracurricular activities, plus preview the Super Regional weekend, our picks for the eight sites. Serber, we'll see if he has anything to dish. Also, but again, it's very hard. I'm playing HurtCon. I need you to carry us. I don't know how much I can deliver today. I'm on fumes. I haven't slept. Please help me.
No, I got you. Let's start with Stanford and Texas State. That game was just insane because it was tied at one going into the ninth, and you're thinking, you know, this one might be destined for extras, and those of us on the East Coast who are trying to stay up and watch this game are just clawing our eyes out saying, when will this game end? And then all of a sudden in the ninth inning, it got supremely exciting because Texas State scores two in the ninth, and you're thinking there, oh my goodness, we might have a San Marcos-hosted Super Regional because UConn had already won on the other side of the bracket, and they were going to either Stanford or Texas State. So everyone's starting to pack their bags and prep the seats in San Marcos. No, no, no. The Stanford Cardinal come back and just absolutely go crazy. Bowser and Troy with homers to left and center field, and then Haskins with a walk-off single in the ninth inning to steal the regional win over Texas State. I mean, what a ninth inning, because Texas State did it the small way. They had a two-run single in the top of the ninth inning, but then Stanford goes long balls with Bowser and Troy, and that was back-to-back, and then they go three batters later with a pinch hitter, Trevor Haskins, who has the game-winning single. Like, what a big moment, first of all, for Trevor Haskins to come up in the ninth inning, season on the line, RBI single to win it. Like, that's just an outstanding way and a great moment for him. Stanford with three homers in the game. Texas State got a phenomenal start from Tristan Stivers, seven innings, eight hits, just one run, nine strikeouts. Meanwhile, Stanford went Johnny Holstaff. They used six different pitchers. None of their pitchers went more than two and a third in that game. And Chess, they still win it thanks to Trevor Haskins coming through in the clutch in a pinch hit opportunity.
Just an unbelievable capper, right, Con? And just what was such a spectacular out of this world. You hate to be prisoner of the moment. You can see bias can seep in. But my goodness, with everything that we experienced with the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament, and then for it to end in that manner, Pac-12, if you will, after dark in Stanford, the Cardinal, the number two overall seed, having that go down to the wire in a game seven, come from behind, as you described it, just an amazing end to what was such a phenomenal weekend of college baseball. So we have our 16 remaining teams. Okay, we've got 8 sites. I'm just going to roll through the bracket quickly. And Con, we will get to your thoughts because I'm going to need to really lean on you for each of these matchups. If you just want to give like top of the head what you're looking for, what is the most interesting thing, I'll regurgitate as best I can and offer up my 2 cents. Again, I'm on vacation. I'm in Chicago. We'll get there. You're working hard. You just came off a trip to Jeff City. I don't want to harp on it. We're here for the people. We're here for our loyal and beautiful listeners. We were not going to deprive you of this content and setting up the weekend. So let me at least map out what we have remaining for Super Regional Weekend, what starts on Friday, and then the rest to come on Saturday. Again, it's a 2 out of 3 format. The winners of these weekend series will advance to Omaha to the College World Series. You can only have 8 of those teams. 8 teams will survive. Okay, that'll make the Omaha 8 for the College World Series. Here's the 16. Top quadrant as you'll get the bracket. Stanford and UConn. Okay, that's at Stanford. UNC in Arkansas, in Chapel Hill. Southern Miss, Ole Miss, in Hattiesburg. Oregon State and Auburn. That'll be played in Corvallis. That's on the right side of the bracket. Then the left side. Of course, it's Tennessee. Top-ranked Volunteers will have Notre Dame in Knoxville. Then it's East Carolina in Greenville with Texas. Texas A&M in College Station at home. The 5 seed, the number 5 overall national seed. They'll host Louisville, the 12 seed coming in. And then Virginia Tech, the 4th-ranked Hokies, number 4 overall national seed. They'll have Oklahoma win the Gainesville Regional. So those are the 16 teams, the 8 sites. Con, you can steer this wherever you want to go because I want to play around and learn about your week and actually not discuss as much college baseball. I know that's why our people are here. But tell me, what are the most front-burning things that come to mind as we look at this mega super regional weekend, which... I know I talk forever. I'm sorry. Slap me. Slide my DMs. At Kyle Shass. Do whatever you have to do to just get me to shut up. But here is the Friday lineup. Texas, East Carolina, Oklahoma, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Louisville, Texas A&M. It all starts at 12 o'clock Eastern. Hopefully you have an opportunity to get this in the early innings, right, of Texas ECU, Con?
Yeah, because Texas ECU kicks us off at noon Eastern. We are 49 minutes away from the Super Regionals getting going. But, Shass, as we always do, and there's a big reason to start here, let's start with number 1 Tennessee and Notre Dame in Knoxville. I know we actually kind of briefly previewed this in our regional recap because we were live reacting to the likes of UConn coming back and taking out Maryland and Oklahoma, beating Florida in the late hours of Monday night when that game resumed after the 5-hour and 45-minute rain delay. But let's go to Tennessee and Notre Dame because I think this might be the most intriguing super regional matchup of all 4. And everyone's going, oh, Tennessee's the number 1 team in the country. Nobody can beat them. They went 56-7, program record for wins. They lead the country in almost every stat, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? The only team left in the remaining field of 16, in my opinion, that can beat them is playing them this weekend in Notre Dame. Notre Dame might be the most completely sound team when you put everything together in the country. Like, Tennessee is flash. Notre Dame is just hard-nosed, strong, fundamental baseball. And as we saw last weekend with Tennessee, their starters, Burns, Beam, Tidwell, even Dolander a little bit, they weren't phenomenal. Like, they got it done, but they weren't phenomenal. Some of them came out very early. And it's a question mark, right, that a lot of people are asking, Shass, are Tennessee's arms running out of gas at the wrong time? Now, their bullpen has still been very good. Kirby Connell, Redmond Walsh, Ben Joyce. I mean, they still have all the talent in the world to take out Notre Dame and advance to Omaha and win the whole thing. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if there's any team that can take them out of the remaining 16 that's most likely to do it, I think it's Notre Dame. Not saying another team can't, but I think the most likely team of the remaining field of 16 is Notre Dame. And just to go into the Notre Dame side of things a little bit more, John Michael Bertrand has been phenomenal. I know you're a huge fan of him. I know you're a huge fan of Link Jarrett, their head coach, Shass. But John Michael Bertrand had that gem against Florida State in the ACC tournament. He is experienced. He's a veteran, right? Fifth-year senior, left-handed pitcher. He just offers everything you could want in a starting pitcher, right? He's got 4 different pitches. Everything moves. His fastball has run and sink. I mean, it's so tough to beat this guy. Now, he's going to throw
Saturday. Here's the thing, Con. Kyle, what? Let me interrupt you. He's going Saturday. Is that right. a mistake by Link Jarrett, though? Because I'm with you, right? Notre Dame is the poised veteran team who's been here, right? They got, I keep using this phrase, they got bent over backwards by the committee last year. Again, it's happening this year. They're battle-tested in a way where they had to go to Starkville, play what became the national champions of the year, Mississippi State, when they should have been higher than a 9. Instead, they were a 9. They go to the 8. Mississippi State wins it all. This year, now they got to go to Knoxville, the number 1 overall seed. Like, they're getting the short end of the stick back-to-back years. But you're right in terms of the fascination of this matchup. Like, the contrast in styles, the plate discipline, the being aggressive early in the count and jumping on these Tennessee pitchers, which I've been saying it for weeks, Con. They aren't the same as to what they were in the first half of the season. The first half of the season was like an aberration, though. Like, it was miraculous. It was unsustainable. Excluding Dolander, who ends up winning, you know, SEC Pitcher of the Year, like, he's been the most steady pace. But what are we getting now out of Burns? He's coming more in a bullpen role. Drew Beam, you know, freshman Pitcher of the Year. I mean, these guys aren't as... They're sharp, they're great, they're phenomenal, they lead the best pitching staff in the country, but I don't think they're as good as they were in the front half, and I think an as experienced team as Notre Dame can exploit that. But again, my question, John Michael Bertrand is going Saturday. He's not going in game one. Is that a mistake to throw Austin Temple in game one on Friday?
I don't think so. I really don't, and here's why. First of all, Bertrand threw 107 pitches on Sunday in the regional final against Texas Tech, so Link Jarrett is giving him just another additional day of rest, because Friday would technically be day 5 for him in terms of his rest. So he's giving him a full 5 days off, which I like, to make sure he's as fresh as possible, because as we can see, you know, Tennessee ran ruckshot over Alabama State in their first game of the regional last weekend, and then they had to really fight through Campbell and Georgia Tech a couple of times to take care of business and advance here to the Super Regional in Knoxville. So I think he wants to throw his best guy in possibly a must-win or your season is on the line game versus Friday night, where he does have a guy in Austin Temple who really hasn't been, you know, a bad pitcher. He's not as good as John Michael Bertrand is, but Austin Temple's got really good stuff too. He's just a little bit slower, and you got to remember, we talk about Tennessee's bullpen. Notre Dame's got really, really good stuff in the bullpen as well. Alex Rao and Liam Simon, you can't forget about Brannigan too. Like, I mean, they have three guys I think that can touch triple digits. So Notre Dame is going to be a fascination to watch out of the bullpen. Their pitching staff is really, really good. I mean, the question is, can Notre Dame match wits with Tennessee offensively? Because we saw in the late innings against Campbell, against Georgia Tech, Tennessee could just flip a switch and go offensively. Not saying Notre Dame can't, but Notre Dame to me feels more like a Campbell, where they sit there and they work counts and they get starters out of the game early and they get into Tennessee's bullpen. So I think this is going to rely on Tennessee's bullpen versus Notre Dame's offense. That's going to be the two keys here for me.
Yeah, I agree, and I think we gave our first kind of inclinations or feeling on Monday night when we were podcasting earlier in the week, and I told you, like, I'm taking Notre Dame, so go ahead and put it down on the dock right now as we roll through these matchups. Like, I've got the Irish. I think you were kind of leaning that way earlier in the week, too, but it's because of this offense. I just think their savvy veteran presence, you know, David LaManna behind the plate, he's hitting 359. He's one of four guys for the Irish regular starters who are all hitting over 300. But, like, these guys are not going to be fazed by what Lindsey Nelson Stadium is. Like, again, playing in Starkville last year, being in that hostile environment, like, they've been through the ringer. They've been battle-tested. This is their opportunity to erase all doubt, okay, to overcome any of that sort of maybe, I don't know, feeling that the committee might have towards them or other people, like Notre Dame baseball, like, what? They don't deserve a top 8 seed. Like, people that don't care, like, they feed off of that. They love to be doubted. And despite Tennessee being 37-3 this year at home, 60-12 over the last couple of years, Notre Dame wants all that smoke. They are hungry. They have enough pitching. If they get a good start from Temple on Friday, like, hell, just keep them in the game. Don't get demoralized. And then late in the game, even if you lose game one, remember, keep it tight. I told you earlier in the week, you've got to be able to pitch. You've got to utilize that bullpen in a way where you prohibit Tennessee from all of a sudden, third time through the lineup, later innings, breaking through and getting that big inning. It's that big inning where they just pop off. And if you can stay away from issuing free passes, which the Notre Dame staff is very good at, okay, I think the Fighting Irish have a fighting chance, and I am taking Notre Dame this weekend.
Yeah, so I agree with everything you said, first of all, and I went really back and forth on this a bunch of times. I knew you were taking Notre Dame. I respect the pick, for me, this is coming down to Sunday. And I think Tennessee wins game one. Notre Dame's going to get game two. That's how I think this is playing out. Game three, and it's going to come down to what I just said. Notre Dame's offense versus Tennessee's bullpen. I think Tennessee will manage their bullpen well enough that they can keep themselves within striking distance, that if they need the big offensive frame on Sunday, as Notre Dame tries to whirl through whatever arms they have remaining, that Tennessee's going to get it done on Sunday and beat Notre Dame to advance. However, I agree. Notre Dame has a phenomenal chance to beat Tennessee. The best of anybody of the matchups remaining, I think Notre Dame has the best chance to beat Tennessee. But I think the Vols get it done on Sunday in a Game 3 winner take all, purely because of the way this matchup sets up for, with Tennessee's bullpen versus Notre Dame's offense, leaving Tennessee with an opportunity to take care of business. We saw so much good work out of Tennessee's bullpen in Hoover that I think Tennessee takes it.
Yeah, man, it's just so, like, just step back from the numbers, right, and just look at that matchup and just think about it. Tennessee baseball, number one ranked team in the country, been going ballistic, just absolutely bonkers over every challenger that has come their way this year. The undisputed best team in America coming in. They can go down as a, they are right now a generational team. Can they seal the deal, though, in ways that other teams have not? We've talked about that all season long. Notre Dame then presents this contrast, right? And everybody loves to hate Notre Dame at the same time because of that brand. It's more of a football thing. But you get these two schools together, those two fan bases in Knoxville with the stakes as high as they are, a trip to Omaha in that ballpark. Like, dude, everybody wants to look at Hattiesburg with Ole Miss and Southern Miss, and I get that. Like, that's going to be off the rails as well. ECU, the jungle, I hear they're bringing in more seats, whatever they got to do with the fans climbing over the fence. Like, the Longhorns aren't going to know what hit them this weekend. But, man, Notre Dame, Tennessee is going to present, I think, the most high-level weekend, most charged up, electric, in-your-face, just haymakers left and right weekend of college baseball between two of the 16 teams. That's where all eyes should most be this weekend.
And I agree with you 100%. And here's the thing. You might talk about people wanting to hate Notre Dame. People hate Tennessee. If you're not Tennessee, you hate Tennessee right now.
That's a great, Con, that's a great point, right? Because I think Tennessee at this time, now we try to take a more, what, bipartisan view of all of this again.
Absolutely.
But like we're trying to be fair and accurate to what's going on. We talked about it with Jordan Beck last weekend. You had the incidents with Tony Vitello earlier in the year. Like, this team can easily be hateable because they have all those villain-like qualities of in-your-face arrogance, just completely pummeling the competition and telling you all about it at the same time. But what makes them, what makes that okay in my mind, doesn't mean you have to like them. You could still hate them. Like, look, I love the villain aspect of it. They back it up. They've backed it up all year long. Notre Dame is just the perfect recipe, I think. You know, fairy tale type, storybook ending, write the script. You can't write the script any better. It's Notre Dame who comes in and silences and puts Tennessee in their place, and I think it happens this weekend.
So one more thing here. Remember when Tennessee went a little wonky against Kentucky? And everybody's like, uh-oh, you know, Tennessee's in trouble, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that was a blip on the radar as they ran through Hoover and took care of business. Yeah. So here's the thing. When people start to doubt Tennessee, which people are doing, including us, against Notre Dame, that's when they really showboat you and they turn it on when they need to. So just look out for that. And by the way, as we go along with this, I want to give the D1 baseball picks as well, because those are out. D1 baseball went 7 for 9 people picked Tennessee. Aaron Fitt and Eric Sorensen went Notre Dame.
Wow. Good to know. Let's do it this way, Con, because we've spent a lot of time on Tennessee and Notre Dame, rightfully so. It's the number one ranked team in the country. Let's stay on the left side. I'm just going to roll through the matchups again. I want you to ping pong or give me what you think with each series. You give me your pick, and then I'll come right back. So these next three on the left side of the bracket, ECU, Texas in Greenville, Texas A&M, Louisville in College Station, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma, that's in Blacksburg. Who do you like for each of those three and why?
All right, so let's go to Virginia Tech and Oklahoma, because I think that's the second most intriguing matchup of the Super Regionals, right? Virginia Tech, what they did offensively last weekend was phenomenal. I mean, they absolutely went to town on the teams that they played. Now, granted, it was Columbia twice. It was Wright State. Like, I get it. It wasn't the greatest competition in the world. But the fact that they still put together a clinic offensively behind Auburn, because Auburn, whoa. I mean, and Stillwater, of course, was just drunk. But
yeah.
Virginia Tech, as a solo offensive team, along with Auburn, were the two most impressive offensive teams last weekend, in my opinion. Now, we talked about how Oklahoma also got bent over backwards by the committee because of the fact the committee announced the hosting sites before the Big 12 championship game was over. What are you doing? So, if you talk about pissed off teams, Oklahoma is as annoyed as anybody right now, and they are coming into a really, really jam-packed, epic environment in Blacksburg, English Field at Atlantic Union Bank Park. First ever Super Regional for Virginia Tech. And, you know, you look at Virginia Tech, the two guys in their offense that really show out, it's Gavin Cross and Tanner Schobel. You go over to the pitching side, you got Drew Hackenberg is really their superstar. And then Virginia Tech, it's like they haven't been here before, right? This is their magical season. Meanwhile, Oklahoma, they're in their first super since 2013. They're looking to get to Omaha for the first time since 2010. So these are both teams trying to put themselves back on the, you know, national map of college baseball. This means a lot to both of these teams right now. I'm going to pick Virginia Tech simply because I've ridden the Hokies all year. However, I want to put this in the universe that I actually think Oklahoma's going to win. But I'm picking Virginia Tech because I've ridden them all season, and I know you're going to go Oklahoma. So for those reasons and those reasons only, go Hokies, make me a profit, but I actually think Oklahoma is going to win.
I am absolutely going with Oklahoma. I have a better reason, though, this time, and it's a guy that I don't think I've ever uttered his name once, and forgive us, okay? There is a lot to keep up with on a week-to-week basis. And when you're Oklahoma and you're not really a top 25 team for most of the year, but then you start to surge at the back end of the year, like, we're playing catch-up for the most part. But, Con, I think you know where I'm going. Peyton Graham is an absolute stud. The dude had two homers in the middle game against Florida over the weekend. He's got 19 for the year. He's hitting .339. Like, that is the catalyst of this offense. That dude is a bona fide, I think, a future first-round selection. That's a pro right there. Virginia Tech has their pros as well. I get it. You've listed and named them. They're at home. They have the advantage. Oklahoma doesn't have as much of the postseason pedigree. They certainly have a little bit more than what Virginia Tech has. This is all new to the Hokies. So with that, coupled with maybe the stress, the pressure, Oklahoma maybe being slighted and having that chip, I think that's going to help fuel them a little bit more for a team that should have hosted as the Big 12 tournament champions. And I am very fascinated, you're right, by this matchup, because again, it's two brands similar to Notre Dame and Tennessee, Tucson. It's just like visually, aesthetically, you don't see those matchups ever, you know, you don't. And then you pair those teams together and you're like, wow, this looks good, like just visibly. But then the style of play and knowing the arc of the season, Virginia Tech dominating all year, Oklahoma coming in furiously at the end, like, there's a contrast there. So I am going to take Oklahoma. I think the hot streak continues for the Sooners. So that is the team I'm picking in Blacksburg. My other picks, Con, for Texas, for College Station, I'm going to continue to ride the wave of Jim Schlossnagel. I'm going with Texas A&M. Just remarkable what he's done in the first year in College Station. I love all those key impact transfers that A&M has. If they can field the baseballs, we saw in Hoover, it was an issue. They're going to do good things because they have such leadership, especially offensively. And I like A&M here. It's very unique because A&M and Louisville, two teams that didn't make the tournament last year at all, and now they're in the Super Regional playing at College Station. And then I am going ECU, as I told you already, over Texas at the Jungle. That place is going to be an insane asylum. It will be a lot of fun this weekend in Greenville for sure.
Love it. Great picks. A couple more notes on Blacksburg, just because we didn't mention this guy, first of all, and he's probably the best pitcher in the series, Jake Bennett for Oklahoma. Wow. Huge left-hander, a lot of experience, 8-3 this year, 112 strikeouts. watching him against what we mentioned was arguably the most impressive offensive performance by a singular team in Virginia Tech last week is going to be the matchup of the entire tournament. If Virginia Tech can beat Jake Bennett, the Hokies are going to Omaha. Period, end of story. That locks it up for me. So that's going to be the biggest matchup, and I'm assuming Bennett's going to go Friday night. I don't know. I haven't looked, and if he isn't, sorry, but I think he's going Friday. So watching today's matchup at 3 o'clock to about 2.5 hours from now will be just truly one of the best matchups of the entire Super Regional weekend. By the way, Virginia Tech had a 6-3 pick by D1 Baseball. Kendall Rogers, Mike Rooney, Eric Sorensen going Oklahoma. The other six went with Virginia Tech.
All right, so what you got with these other ones? Come on, roll through them. Let's go.
I'm going, bro.
It's so hard to pack all this in. These games are starting right now. Do we have a score? Oh, it hasn't started 12. Dude, I'm so screwed up on time. Like, I'm seeing 11:30 on my laptop.
We're out by noon, baby. I got you.
Yeah, but what time is it?
It's 11:30 Eastern.
Okay. I didn't change my laptop time. That's what's throwing me off.
So okay, it's 11:30 Eastern. I got you. Don't worry. All right. Gotcha. So the reason I went back to Blacksburg is because my next two picks are pretty chalk, just like yours. I'm riding the wave of the Aggies as well. Love it. They're hosting in College Station. But the thing I want to highlight here in College Station, Shaz, is the coaching matchup. Dan McDonald and Jim Schlossnagel, two of college baseball's best head coaches. The chess moves that they're going to make are so phenomenal. However, I think the Aggies have the better offense, and I'm going to go with Texas A&M because Louisville did not impress me in their own regional. They managed to pull out of it by coming back against Michigan. I'm going with Texas A&M over Louisville, and the picks in that one were, I just lost them.
Overall pick 'em, you're 9-7 following the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. So you had one game overall. Yeah.
Yes. I went 8-8. I'm 9-7. Okay. So the pick 'em for D1 baseball has 5 Louisville, 4 Texas A&M. So very split.
Wow. That is split. Yeah.
Meanwhile, for Greenville, totally agree with you. I said it from the jump. When the regional field was announced, I said East Carolina's going to Omaha. They had the easiest draw, and they have the easiest pairing. I think they take down Texas, and I think ECU finally breaks down the door, goes to Omaha. They have made 32 regional appearances, 7 trips to the Super since 1999 when the 64-team era began. They haven't hosted a Super in 21 years, and they played that in Kinston because Clark LeClaire Stadium was not even built yet. The Jungle is going to be alive, dangerous, wild. I even thought about going to Greenville this weekend. I'm not going to, but I thought about it for a hot second, but I'm just too tired from my trip to Jefferson City. ECU going to Omaha. Give me the Pirates. Cliff Godwin will finally make the trip. You'll love to see it.
It would be the first appearance ever for ECU in Omaha if that were the case. And your boy, I thought you said you were considering. You told me this privately after we recorded, so what's the deal? Are you going to do anything this weekend? Chapel Hill, the Hogs are coming. Are you going to be a part of that raucous environment out at in Chapel Hill? Or are you going to lay low and just take everything in from home?
I think I'm going to lay low.
Squeeze play again this weekend.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lay low and take everything in. Jefferson City was a very fun but very exhausting trip. So I think I'm going to lay low and just watch my television and soak it all in. Might go play some golf as well. So got to get the game, up another notch this week. Unfortunately, not with you because you're in Chicago. But, I think I'm going to lay low this weekend. I thought about it, but I gave it a long, long thought. But I think I'm going to lay low.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, this seems like a good pause point, so we're not rushed in getting this in after. We've set the left side. We've given our picks before we roll through the right side and get out of here. Why don't you catch our wonderful listeners up on what you've been doing, and then I'll tell you what I've been doing, because I haven't slept. I'm on like a I'm on vacation, all right? And I am not a bad dad. My daughter is here. She's in the room. My dog is in the cage. I don't even know why he's laying in the cage right now. I'm in a bedroom with a ceiling that I've banged my head on several times already. Like, it's like an attic of my aunt's home here in Homewood, Illinois, in the south suburbs. And the dog is laying in the cage because he's so just freaked and weirded out and neurotic. Like, he's so nervous. Like, the cage door is open, yet he goes in there because it makes him feel comfortable. Like, dude, get out. And then then my daughter, Pudge, she's just chilling on the bed with me right now. She's been good. But I've had no sleep. I'm doing this pod with you because I love you. I love the people. I'm here. And it's been eventful thus far. I'll get into more of the details, but I'm very curious about Jefferson City. You were there for work. How was it, my friend?
It was a fantastic time. By the way, I neglected to mention that D1 baseball went 5-4 in favor of Texas over ECU.
Oh, interesting.
In the Super Regional Pick'em. Jefferson City was phenomenal. Daniel Brower and the entire staff in Jefferson City, Tom Bowman, Tyler Ricard, I believe, is on the fund committee as well. Same with Nate. They just nailed it. I mean, great couple of days. We had a phenomenal dinner at the High Rise Bakery, catered by the Grand Cafe. We sampled some of the bars down High Street in Jefferson City. We had something called the Lunchbox, which I never had before, but a big fan of the Lunchbox.
So tasty.
Very tasty.
Serbs can attest. Yeah.
Yes. We all drank them. Every single one of us stayed out, drank them. They were great. We hit up a karaoke bar after that. That was delightful, but we were all pretty exhausted. So we kind of knocked out a little bit early that night because we knew Wednesday was going to be a long day. And it was, but it was a fun day. We went out to the Bass River Resort in Steelville, Missouri. We ended up doing a float trip for about 6 hours where we got on these massive floats, loaded up some coolers, blasted some music, and we just had a great time. It was so fun just to hang out with everybody. The Jefferson City crew that I hadn't met, they're all gems, beautiful people. Love meeting them. Great story sharing. Great just getting to know them and hang out in a very, you know, calm environment. I loved it. And then, we were at the cabin for a night, and the night turned into early morning pretty quickly. Lots of cornhole, lots of darts going on. A different variety of darts than most people are thinking. We were not throwing darts at a dartboard. We're actually playing a different game that, Shass, I want to tell you about offline because I think you'll thoroughly enjoy it. We did that. We had a little campfire going. It was. We played some board games. It was truly just a tremendous, tremendous couple of days. Jefferson City knocked it out of the park. So thankful to them for a great couple of days. Every single one of us had a great time. We were all talking about it when we were at lunch. We went to this place called Twisted Ranch, which has 33 different ranch offerings in St. Louis. Yes.
Girl.
Yes. It was amazing. And you can order a flight of the ranches. So we ordered a 13 ranch flight, and we just got French fries and took it to town.
Is this acceptable in your mind?
Absolutely, 100%. I love ranch dressing. Right. I know some people think it's fucking. I don't like mayonnaise. Don't get me wrong. I hate mayonnaise.
I don't either.
Ranch dressing, I'm here for. And dipping fries in ranch dressing, I know some people view that as European and un-American. It's as American as apple pie. All right, ranch dressing, especially in the state of Missouri, I'm here for. All you said 33 different types of ranch.
Yeah, 33 different types of ranch. Shass and Serbs, go on my Snapchat story. I did a little video of the ranch flight spinning it around. You can see it. It is there. It is epic.
Bro, I am almost 33 years old. I do not have Snapchat.
All right. Well, Shass, go on my Snapchat story.
I got Snapchat, Serbs. Don't worry. I'm carrying the flag for the 33-year-old.
Take a screenshot for me, bro.
Yeah, and then Khan's going to know, but don't worry. It's just your ranch flight or whatever.
Like, no, it's all good. It's all good.
That is...
Shass, I was trying to send you as many snaps as possible, but there was no service at the cabin, so I couldn't send you any.
Yeah, and my phone died last night.
We do have a photo album. Ben Conley created a photo album, so I'll share that with you, boy. And you guys can enjoy the photos. There are truly some tremendous ones on there already. We also got to go to the St. Louis Arch the next day because we had a little flight time before our flight checked out. So we went to the Arch. It was awesome. Didn't get to go to the top. I have a gripe. Got to get on my soapbox here for a minute. So we get to the Arch, right? And there's a way to take a tram up to the top and actually see the Arch from the top and then go back down. Yep. It's like a 4-minute train ride. However, they make you do this damn tour that lasts 45 minutes to 60 minutes before you actually take the tram. And we don't have time for that. We got to get on a plane and come back to Charlotte. So we were kind of annoyed that we couldn't just take the tram. We tried to work our way onto one, and they were like, no, you got to do the tour. And the next tour didn't leave for another 40 minutes after we got there, so we had to leave and just look at it from the bottom. We still got some good photos, one on my Instagram right now. You can go like it. So a little bit of a gripe there. But other than that, the Arch, well worth walking up to see it. It was a very cool monument to look at, but need to have a tram only option, St. Louis. Tram only.
Yeah, I'll pay money for it. All right, so Colin, where can we find you on Snap and Instagram? Go ahead and promote yourself so the listeners know.
All right, so on Instagram it's at @DavidCon34. And I believe it's the same on Snapchat.
That's a problem. I've told you about this. That's a problem. You don't know and you can't differentiate. It's got to be the same.
Oh, no, I got it. Okay. I got my Snapchat.
All right.
My Instagram is at DavidCon34. My Snapchat is DKJewLane4, JEWLANE, because Tulane is very primarily Jewish. Yes. As you can tell, I made my Snapchat when I was a freshman in college.
Yeah. Very good, very good. You'll fix good. That at some point, or not. I think it's better the way it is. Honestly, that's fine. Consistency for me at Kyle Shass pretty much everywhere. So
all right, give me your Chi Town.
Serves is at @L_Sobrino. 33 ranches is certainly obscene. By the way, you should add context though on the front of your story. Why were you in Jefferson City? It was because we're doing some team building stuff with Learfield. That's all you need to know. We're doing some cross pollination. They come to Winston, we go to Jeff City. Like, that's the behind curtain stuff that the listeners really don't care about. But like, hey, we get the opportunity to love on other people, and you know, we enjoy ourselves. So Khan has arrived back in Winston from 2 days out of town. Really 3 days, you know, in terms of traveling. I'm gone for 8 days. I'm in Chicago. This is vacation for me. I am back home where I grew up. I'm hanging at my aunt's. I'm in the south suburbs. The vacation hasn't fully started yet. Like, that sounds weird, but like, the whole reason why I come here, I scheduled the trip around a golf outing that begins Saturday afternoon still. Saturday afternoon, Sunday, and Monday. And we play 36 holes a day Sunday, 36 holes a day Monday. Saturday's more of a bonus opportunity for 10 of us, but we got 24 guys, 12 on 12. You bring gambling money to the table, skins, all that. Winning team gets their money, but like, it's a very sophisticated deal. So that's why I'm here, and I still have that to look forward to. What is today? Is today Friday?
Today's Friday. So that starts
tomorrow. And again, I haven't slept. I went out with a couple of guys this morning who I was hanging out with last night, catching up with old friends. We stayed up all night, and then we decided at 6 a.m., hey, let's go get 9 in. And we went down to the golf course, and we were the first ones on and played 9 quickly.
I have a question.
Yes.
A bit off topic, but not really. So Masters ticket requests have opened up. Like, this is the time to request your Masters tickets. Have both of you done it? And then I want to know, if you got tickets, how many did you apply for, and who are you taking with you if you get the draw?
So that's a great question. Who would I take with me? The answer, though, to your initial question is no. I have never put in for the raffle.
Do it. Do it.
For the drawing. Do I it. Need to. Yes.
Just
yes,
start doing it, because, like, who knows when you're going to hit, you know?
Absolutely. So, no, you're right.
Yeah. Serber, you just reminded me that I meant to do that because I, like Shass, have never done it before. However, my dad, because he used to work for the Golf Channel, did actually hit one time on the Masters pool or the Masters raffle and got to go.
Right.
Now, even if you work for the Golf Channel, you are still in the same raffle. It's the same thing. No preference. So my dad did hit one time and got to go to a round. So he's been. I've never been. I'd love to go. You already know about the time I got kicked off Augusta National.
Yes.
So I got to make it right there. But I will be submitting this year. As for who I'd take, I'd probably still take my dad again. My dad's the golf guy. I'd probably still go with him. I think I'd put in for four tickets and then figure out the other two later, but Dad would certainly be number one. Probably my buddy Tyler would be number two, just because he's a huge golf guy and always loves the Masters. And then the third ticket that I would have additionally, I don't know who I would go to. There's a lot of options there.
Okay.
I'm doing it wrong by not putting myself into that raffle. Like, what do I have to lose? So I have everything to gain. You're right, Serper. Great point.
Just a reminder. Get your names out.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, I will get on that at some point when I come back to reality and drive back to North Carolina. And to next week, get back to me. But we have to do this again on Tuesday, right? Is that our plan? I know we haven't made our picks yet for the right side of the bracket, but we're going to have to do this remotely, another vacation pod on Tuesday before I come back. Okay. All right,
Monday or Tuesday, we have not decided yet. Oh, no, it has to be Tuesday because there's still regional. Yeah, Tuesday.
Yes.
Tuesday.
Okay. Yes. All right, cool. I do have kind of a unique, funny surprise I want to bring. It's not really a surprise. I don't want to oversell it, but what was going to help me prepare for this podcast, as I stressed unbelievably over the last, like, 12 hours at this point, knowing I was talking with you guys today on a vacation. So I will pull that out after we pick the right side of the bracket, because it's actually comical as I look back at this and haven't slept a lick. So let's go through. It's very funny. Stand by.
I got you.
All right, here's
I'll set the right side, yeah.
You set it. No, okay. I've talked enough. My voice is gone. You take it from here. Thank you,
bro. All right, I'm setting the bracket. Okay, so the right side of the bracket, the two seed Stanford Super Regional, they are hosting the UConn Huskies, who emerge out of College Park. You've also got the three seed Oregon State, who escaped their regional. They are taking on the 14 seeded Auburn Tigers, who just ran ruckshot over everybody else in the Auburn regional. That's in Corvallis. Both of those starting Saturday night at 10:30 Eastern is game one. So hit the snooze button on your alarms, folks. Going to be a late one on Saturday. Meanwhile, we have the 10 seed Chapel Hill Super Regional. UNC is taking on the Arkansas Razorbacks, who emerge out of the Stillwater Regional. That starts Saturday at 11. And last but not least, the Mississippi matchup, the 11 seed Southern Miss hosting at Pete Taylor Park in Hattiesburg. They are welcoming in the three-seed Ole Miss Rebels out of the Coral Gables Regional, who, I mean, dealt with the weather, took care of Miami, took out Arizona. That starts Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Shass, where would you like me to start?
Oh, my gosh. Start at the top right as we look at it and just work down. Give me your picks, right, and then I'll come back.
I'm actually not looking at the brackets.
All right, well, what do you – no, okay.
Is that Stanford at the top?
Yeah, Stanford, UConn. Start there.
Okay. All right. I got the bracket up now anyway. So Stanford at the top. Okay. So Stanford and UConn. This one's actually pretty easy for me. It's a pure travel situation. UConn has to go over to the West Coast. Stanford is freaking red hot right now. Alex Williams. Everyone's talking about Cooper Jerpy, but don't forget about your boy, Alex Williams. He has been phenomenal. He has held everybody's face to nearly under a 200 average. He, you know, didn't really look that great last week in the Stanford Regional, so it's kind of like the Tennessee factor against Kentucky. I expect Alex Williams to rebound and be phenomenal this weekend against UConn. Brock Jones, your favorite because of his fabulous mustache, has absolutely dialed it in. So give me Stanford to take care of business against UConn. We'll have some trouble playing on the West Coast, and the Cardinal are headed back to Omaha.
Go ahead and pencil me in for UConn. And this is purely because I feel like nobody is giving them a chance. Absolutely,
yeah, right.
Nobody. So
you're correct. The D1 baseball pick'em is 8-1 in favor of Stanford.
So this is, as much as I love Brock Jones, and I love the Cardinal last year, and then getting it, like, they're a likable team. And I've enjoyed them all year long. I haven't invested as much time into the Brock Jones stash as I probably should, and a lot of these characters and dudes on that team. But what David Esker has done, man, is just continue to just bolster this program and put it in a position to continue to be just one hell of a school, like a Pac-12 West Coast staple, a defining baseball school, as Stanford is. Stanford is good at everything, right, in some regard. But baseball has been relevant. It has been near the top of the Pac-12 year after year. They rarely have a down year. They're in a position again. And I think UConn is just a team that nobody has given any sort of credence to. Like, we knocked them. We were down on them a lot during the regular season. And they really tailed off towards the end. But here they are, lo and behold, going all the way to the West Coast. Like, that's kind of a big-time Cinderella type thing that I'm going to ride. So Give me UConn. I think Austin Peterson will give them the game one win that will help catapult them through the weekend. And the way Stanford played against Texas State, like, I'm not dissing Texas State, but again, I think that was closer than what it should have been. And maybe Stanford exhausted a lot last weekend. We'll see. It'll all play out on the field at Sunken Diamond this weekend. Those other three games, I'm going to give you my picks, Con, okay. And then you can go from there. Give me Arkansas and Chapel Hill, Ole Miss in Hattiesburg, and Auburn, War Eagle in Corvallis. Let's go.
So I'm just going to spoil the fun right now.
That's all road teams, by the way. All road teams.
I know, but here's the thing. I agree with you on every single one of them.
Oh, God. We did not talk about this beforehand.
Those were literally
so that's good.
All of my picks. Auburn is going to be my big time upset pick, and you stole it from me. So I agree. I can't change. I agree with every single one of them. But let's go down the bracket and give everybody their due. So start with Chapel Hill hosting Arkansas this weekend. By the way, D1 baseball has 7-2 in favor of Arkansas. Aaron Fitt, North Carolina native, and Eric Sorensen picking the Tar Heels to win in Chapel Hill. For the Tar Heels, Scott Forbes is back. UNC has been ridiculously hot. Of course, they ran through Charlotte. They won the ACC tournament. 19 of their last 22 games they've won. They went 33-7 at home this year. That's a lot in favor of UNC. However, Arkansas, they have been kind of the teeter-totter team of the entire season, right? They've been hot. They've been cold. They've looked absolutely terrible and out of it like they did in Hoover. They've also looked incredibly strong like they did in Stillwater last weekend. Arkansas scored 44 runs in four games in Stillwater, and they had to battle in every single game to come back and win against some very, very potent teams, namely Oklahoma State a couple of times. So for me, that lends itself a little bit better because Arkansas has already gone on the road into a hostile environment. They've won. They've done it with attrition. I think Dave Van Horn to bet against him in the postseason is stupid. We did it last week. We were proven wrong. We both picked Oklahoma State. They obviously did not advance, and I've got Arkansas beating UNC in Chapel Hill to move on. I think, you know, Caden Wallace just absolutely showed out. He's the answer to Vance Honeycutt for UConn, who, of course, was just a highlight reel last weekend in the Chapel Hill Regional, arguably the best defensive center fielder in the country, even though he's just a freshman. I mean, the home run robberies he had last weekend was just phenomenal, but I'm going with the Hogs. Woo Pig Suey in Chapel Hill, Arkansas, back to Omaha. Maybe they'll be able to close it out. Don't drop any foul balls, Arkansas. And I think they're going to Omaha. Let's go to...
I think they found something, too, Con. Like, they got a big performance out of the bullpen and a step-up moment in that Game 7. Like, Hagan Smith coming in and doing what he did to close that out. Like, those guys are feeling themselves in ways they hadn't felt themselves all year long in terms of that pitching staff, which has been the biggest question mark. So, yeah, I'm with you on the Hogs. How about the atmosphere, though, that we're going to see in Hattiesburg?
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous, first of all, because it's two Mississippi teams, right? Southern Miss and Ole Miss, Hattiesburg and Oxford merging together at Pete Taylor Park. And here's the thing for Southern Miss, Chaz. They have arguably the best remaining weekend rotation outside of Tennessee. They've got Tanner Hall, Hunter Riggins, Hurston Waldrop. Those guys are all just phenomenal starting pitchers. We know that. However, Ole Miss is just ridiculously hot offensively, and you got to look to the ageless and injuryless wonder, Tim Elko, for what he's been able to do. I mean, yeah, he has two knees again this year, 22 homers, 68 runs driven in, a 1.089 OPS. Like, Elko is the linchpin of this offense, and he is going. Also on the pitching side, you got to remember, Dylan DeLucia has figured it out. He started this year at the back end of the bullpen. Mike Bianco had to move him into the rotation. They had some arms that were struggling, some injuries that came in. He was phenomenal in Coral Gables. Ole Miss already, again, just like Arkansas, had to fight through the attrition, and Ole Miss's bullpen did not give up an earned run in the regional. They went 12 and a third innings. Did not give up a run. That was where Southern Miss took advantage of LSU, especially in the championship game, because, as I said, Jay Johnson very poorly managed his staff in that final game of the regional. But Ole Miss's bullpen, a little bit better than LSU's right now. They're feeling it. I'm going with the Rebels to upset the Golden Eagles and head to Omaha.
I love it. I'm trying to pull up the all-time series stuff between these two teams, because obviously this is a very, very historic, extensive rivalry within the state. So here's the series from 1913. That's when these two teams first played each other. All time, Southern Miss trails 85-57. So the Rebels have 85 wins in Hattiesburg since 1947. Southern Miss has gone 31-24 against Ole Miss. Much worse than Oxford, but that doesn't matter this weekend. And Ole Miss won the most recent contest between these two in the midweek just before the close of the regular season. That came, it was a tight game. Yeah, 5-4 in 10 innings on May 11th. So really cool for the state of Mississippi. Magnolia State is going to be rocking Hattiesburg. Tremendous opportunity for them. First ever Super Regional in Hattiesburg. Second ever for the program. They beat Florida in Gainesville back in 2009 for their only College World Series appearance. And I'm with you, man. The pitching staff, yeah, it's loaded. Second best next to Tennessee. Can the pitching continue to do the things they've done all year? Can the offense come through in timely ways like it did against LSU? We saw it on display last week because that was a big question mark. I was pleasantly surprised with the amount of offense Southern Miss was able to put together. Again, it came against kind of a off and on Jekyll and Hyde LSU pitching staff that didn't have much on the front end, but still, absolutely. So we agree there. And then what am I missing? Corvallis, right?
Yeah, that's our last one. Corvallis. So first of all, before we get into Corvallis, D1 baseball 7-9 Southern Miss over Ole Miss. And you got to remember all the pressures on Southern Miss this weekend, Shass, because like you said, first ever regional in Hattiesburg, Ole Miss, people, you know, wrote them off. They went 1-done in Hoover. People said they're not even making the field. Then they make the field and they beat Miami. They're the only one to take out a top 8 national seed. Oh, sorry, one of two. Arkansas did it to Oklahoma State. But Ole Miss was first. They took out Miami, and they didn't even make the regional final. Like, Miami was not in it. They were out. Ole Miss ousted them in Coral Gables. So this is house money for the Rebels, and I think that will also carry them to a victory.
All right, so what stands out in Corvallis? Why are you picking Auburn? For me, it's just I feel like it's two different teams. From what we saw in Hoover going 1-done, not having any offense, and then just absolutely exploding. I mean, a dynamite offensive performance at the Auburn Regional last weekend and going 3-0 and sweeping their way and getting this opportunity now to go to Corvallis. And pitching-wise, like, we think they're more healthy, right? So really, if you're able with that offense, if they can get to Cooper Jerpy, game one, like, come on, let's go. I don't see any way Oregon State, if they lose that first game, that they would be able to come back. So Auburn has to strike first. You're on the road. Be the aggressor. Get to Cooper. And let's go. Giddy up.
Here's the thing about Auburn, and you're right. They have to get to Jerpy. If Oklahoma State wins game one, I get nervous. Oregon State, sorry.
Yes.
If Oregon State wins game one, I get nervous for Auburn to pull off this, you know, titanic upset. However, there's two things that we know about Auburn. They are a right-handed, heavy-hitting offensive team, right? They are a bunch of righties in that lineup to take care of business and go to town. Of course, we got Sonny DeShera. I mean, just difference maker. He can turn a game. He can turn an inning. He can turn an at-bat around in an instant. Also, they are very tough to strike out. Strikeout numbers this year, 512 total. Cooper Jerpy, big strikeout pitcher. That's what kind of bolsters him a little bit. So when you look at those two things, a lot of right-handed hitters against a lefty pitcher, slight advantage to Auburn. Tough to strike out. Advantage Auburn. Give me the Tigers on the road. Beating Jerpy in game one. This one, I think, goes three as well. But give me the Tigers.
Yes, sir. I've got a question for you.
Okay.
And this is probably the most important question of this entire hour of us together. As right. I rummage through my back. How's this for a transition? Okay. We've given our picks, right? They're all on record.
They're on record. D1 baseball, by the way, has 8-1 in favor of Oregon State.
Okay. We've set the schedule. This pod is going to go live kind of in the early innings of Texas and ECU, Oklahoma, Virginia Tech, also on Friday, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Louisville, Texas A&M. Game ones. The rest of the action will get started on Saturday. Again, best 2 out of 3. So we've laid it all out for you. But Con, here we go. As I pull this note out of my back pocket that I was scribbling together at 3 a.m. with one of my good buddies, Adam Anderson, shout out. When I was panicking, this was my cliff notes, my spark notes to help keep me on task and help create luscious content for you, for Cerber, and for all of those listeners. And I have not had to refer to it one time until right now because I have a joke. What do you call, okay, a guy who owns a winery and a horse? What do you name the horse?
Ooh, I don't. What do you name him? I don't know.
Cabernet.
I hate you so much.
So that's number two on my list. We should have started the pod with this. Adam's going to hate me. But again, I didn't need to go to this until now, and now I don't want to waste all this content. So number one, I've got a list of like 10 things just quickly. Number one, he wrote something really inflammatory towards Notre Dame, so I won't repeat that. Number two, he put, let's see, Coyote Ulf, hilarious friend, winery Joe Cabernet. Oh, here we go. He knows you're David Kahn, so he was going all in on the Kahn jokes. He's like, all right, bad Connor picks, Con Air joke. Like, are you in the movie? Are you the Genghis Khan?
Yes.
Are you a convict?
No.
Can we play? Can
These
Cerber?
Are horrible.
Yeah. So this is. So my buddy asked if Cerber can put Akon convict music underneath Khan when he talks.
Is there, I believe it's copyrighted. So no.
Yeah. So no, we can't do that. Is it you Khan or you can? Get it? James.
Unbelievably bad.
Yeah. James Khan.
That was amazing.
How about that? James Khan. There's Mortal. Here's my favorite. Mortal Kombat. How about that one? Yeah.
Oh, God. I do actually believe, Shaz, that I am somehow distantly related to Genghis Khan.
Yeah. I would hope so.
People,
like, I would hope so.
There's a mathematical equation in there that increases your chances, I believe.
Oh, like, okay.
One in
well,
so
good.
Many people have the DNA of Genghis Khan. It's a crazy number. Most of these people live in China for obvious reasons. That's where he was. But it's a weird stat. I'll look it up.
Cerber, as we're aware, things can spread from China rather quickly.
Yep.
I'm glad I saved this for the end of the podcast. You guys didn't think it was as funny as I did at 3 and 4 a.m.?
It's funny because of how
the
bad
Yukon,
it is.
The Yukon you can was hilarious.
Yeah, that was. Okay, here's more. So we started because we've played 27 holes in the last 2 days, including 9 this morning on no sleep. But I was – this is my buddy Adam. We got in the same cart yesterday when we played 18 foursome because we were the better golf – the quote-unquote better golfers, right, who can actually, like, find our ball, get off the tee, that sort of thing. And then we were playing with our other two great friends who are more, like, novices. Like, Con, you're better than these other two. Or at least equal, but I think you're better in a sense that – these two, you want to put them in the same cart. Here's the golf etiquette. You would never want to split those two in separate carts. Does that make sense? Like, you put the two golfers who are better in one cart together, regardless of team pairings, and then you put the two less skilled, we'll say, just to be nice golfers, in their own cart behind you. You do not mix. So let that be a lesson to all you golfers out there. Serbs, you're new into the game. Make sure you try to pair yourself with somebody of similar to equal skill level, if you have that choice, just because otherwise the ones that might be slightly more advanced, they're going to want to kill you because you're going to slow down their pace and everything. And everything went perfect and swimmingly, and it was a main talking point yesterday when we were on the golf course. I thought it was a good learning lesson to make sure I reiterated that and presented that to the group and the listenership so they understood.
Very good.
One in 200 men are direct descendants of Genghis Khan.
Ooh. Okay.
Well, I have his last name, so I win.
Yeah. Although he spells it different. He spells it
with
the H
first. But actually, Cerber, my family, which is Eastern European descendants, did spell it differently before they came over.
Oh, you're totally kin to Genghis Khan then.
Yeah, that's how I know.
I didn't know you had Eastern European ancestry. That makes it a lock because, I mean, that's where he ran.
When they got out of Eastern Europe and immigrated to the United States, they flipped the A and the H.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just reading down my list. Why you put bad golfers in the other cart, fixing divot holes, people behind you hitting into you. This is a lot of golf-related stuff. He wanted me to get on a soapbox and preach, but we've talked about all this a lot. Foot wedge paradox, getting your feet behind the wet. Yeah. Virtual reality. Have y'all, Serbs, Kant, have either of you done the Facebook Oculus, have you seen this? Have you experienced it? You've done it, Con.
I have done it. It is awesome.
Dude, I'm asking Santa for it. or Kyla, my daughter Pudge, she's asking Santa for it. And
I saw on your Instagram story, Shass, that that Pudge was having some fun with the Oculus. It is,
dude, she
legendary.
Was killing it. And then I tried it on after. By the way, shout out to Mags, my old college roommate. She's got a golden tee in her living room and an air hockey table in her living room. Yes, unreal. Anyways, the Oculus, I did it as well. I threw it on my face, and like we did like this sorting game where you're trying to cut through. It's like Rock Band, like this particular game where like the keys are all coming at, but it's 3D, right? It's all coming at you, and then you have like the controllers, and they're like swords or lifesavers, and you're having to slice and cut through each one, and you got the music blaring, and it's all on beat. It was so much fun. It was really cool. So yeah, shout out to the Facebook, whatever the hell it's called, Oculus. And I'm going to have to talk to Santa about that one because I might have to take a loan out or something, but we'll see. But yeah, I think I just emptied the notebook, man. It's been a great vacation so far. I'm not even halfway in. I guess I am kind of halfway in tonight. I got a lunch date coming up. Hopefully she doesn't listen to the podcast because she might not be, and I know she doesn't, Miss Monica, but she probably wouldn't want it to be characterized as a lunch date, but like, I don't want, like, that's just the easiest way to explain it, right? So, like, I'm going to meet up old high school girl that I used to, you know, we used to go to high school together. So, we're going to catch up. I'm
Take with that what
that.
You will.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to go, you know, I'm going to go check out her, you know, humble abode. We're going to walk to an Italian restaurant. She lives over by the Cell or whatever the hell they're calling the White Sox Park now. First guaranteed downgrade, whatever. So, she's in that neighborhood. But yeah, that's what I got planned, man. And a little bit of college baseball here and there, but mostly a lot of golf, a little vibing. And I want you boys to not be too jealous, man. Enjoy yourselves this weekend. By the way, it's cold in Chicago. It's like freaking 65. Well, it got up 75.
It's not cold.
It's not cold.
It's not as hot as it normally is when I come to Chicago.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it actually is.
That's shorts weather.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I shouldn't be. Yeah, but you can't go to the beach. Like, it's not hot enough to go to Lake Michigan.
You can go to the beach if you want. You're just choosing not to.
Oh, I can't jump in a pool. I got a new bathing suit I want to show off, and it's just it's too cold for that.
I think Shaz is being a baby right now, Serbs. I don't know if you agree.
His life is so hard.
It's such a hard. All right, now I'm all of a sudden laying on my bed, so I should probably.
It's time to wrap the pod, I believe.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
All right, we got Super Regionals are underway. ECU and Texas have just started at Clark LeClaire Stadium. Got 8 matchups coming up. Again, just to remind you, starting today, ECU and Texas, followed by Virginia Tech and Oklahoma. Then it's Tennessee and Notre Dame. And College Station is the final one, Texas A&M and Louisville. On Saturday, gets going with UNC and Arkansas. Southern Miss and Ole Miss at 4 o'clock Eastern, then at 10:30 Eastern on Saturday night. Stanford and UConn, Oregon State, and Auburn. Shass, any final thoughts before we say goodnight?
Cabernet.
That was
nice. Enjoy Super Regional weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
That was the best one.